hanging on to people because there's a fear of, oh, it's so hard to hire out there, or this person's been with us for 20 years, or and they have an energy or an ability to kind of disrupt things that we're trying to change or do.
The future of dentistry belongs to the innovators. Welcome to Innovation in Dentistry. I'm your host, Sean Zayas, and I believe that the future of dentistry is going to be unbelievably great over the next decade and two decades. But the question isn't that. The question is, are you going to be part of what makes dentistry great? Okay, so I could not be more excited today to have the opportunity to be with the one and only Susan Lekowitz from Dental Coaches LLC. And before I set you up, let me just say, Susan, thank you so much for letting me interview you today.
Oh, I'm happy to be here to talk with you.
Okay, so innovation in dentistry, what does that mean, right? It could be like business model innovation. It could be like technological breakthroughs that help innovation in dentistry. But what I'm focused on and what I care about for this podcast is, why are there crazy people like you that aren't afraid to raise their hand and say, why can't I lead? Why can't I pioneer positive change? And that's exactly what you're doing. Susan, tell us, how did you even get into dentistry?
So I grew up with a dad who was a dentist who was really passionate about dentistry. He loved it. He practiced in the same town we lived in, and he talked so many people into going into dentistry. He just thought it was a great profession. And I started working in his practice when I was a teenager, and I was a dental assistant, and I went to dental hygiene school. Then I practiced hygiene for a couple of years, and I wasn't sure if it was going to really pigeonhole me with a two-year education. So I went out to California. I spent some time in Los Angeles working and going to school, working on my bachelor's at USC. And I ended up getting my bachelor's degree, taking a hiatus from dentistry, going into fashion design. I wanted to be a fashion buyer, and I hated it. I hated retail. And I went back into hygiene in a perio office. And I ended up working in dentistry for many years and getting coached by different companies. And I really liked the business aspect and the coaching aspect. So that was kind of how I got started.
So it started with a family business.
It did. Mm-hmm. It started with a family business. And what I really enjoyed about watching my dad work is the relationships he had with his patients, the ability to, you know, make a big difference in healthcare and really help people. And I just loved those different aspects of it and the creative aspect of it, of smile design and helping people, you know, achieve really great healthy results from dentistry.
So would you describe your dad as primarily like clinician or also like entrepreneur, like business excellence? Like, would you say he had both?
Yeah, I do. I would say that he really, he enjoyed the engineering part of dentistry. He had an engineering mind. So he liked taking those people who had collapsed bites or missing teeth and rebuilding their mouths. He had his own dental lab. As a kid, I grew up with like dentures boiling on the stove, and he'd be like working with acrylic and bringing home like plaster and having us make different things out of plaster. And he liked the creative and the artistic part of it. And he also liked the business aspect of it. And he grew his practice to, you know, bring on associate doctors. And he liked taking risks, and he liked being an entrepreneur. So yes.
Like, what an amazing model. Like, normally, I don't know. I'm familiar with the fact that dentistry for a long time was very family oriented, where, you know, you'd see the son or daughter and they would become a dentist too. And I don't see as much of that, you know, being that I'm the only reason why I'm in the dental industry is because my dad had his own dental supply company. And I wanted to work for the family business. Like, I get the challenges that can go along with that. And yet at the same exact time, I think it can be really, really beautiful and really a gift to honor our parents in that way. So you weren't positive that that was going to be your path going into or pursuing fashion design. What was it about that industry? You said you hated retail. Like what was specifically repulsive about pursuing that?
You know, what was interesting about that is I wasn't getting passionate about making changes in people's lives. Like I really believe dentistry changes people's lives. And I was like, yeah, we're, you know, selling the latest, you know, suit in a ladies, you know, women's department in a department store. We're, you know, bringing in new merchandise. But I just kind of missed the people interaction and the relationships and feeling like you're making a difference in healthcare. I guess it was more like, you know, you're making money in retail, but you know, in dentistry, you can be successful and make money and make a difference in people's lives. So I think that's what kind of drew me back in to, you know, let me think about, you know, taking another look at dentistry. And I stepped out of working in my dad's business and I worked in a couple other different dental practices just to get a different perspective as well. I worked in a specialist in a perio office, and I think it was good for my dental, you know, career to step out into outside of my dad's business to take a look at what's happening in other practices.
Now, early on, this is still clinical, right? This is you still as a hygienist?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what was that path of like, you know, I love hygiene or hygiene is difficult and I think there's now more I can offer. You know, is that like you're 10 years in doing it? You're 15 years in? Like what all of a sudden elevated it? So you're like, you know what? I love hygiene, but I think I can serve in a greater capacity.
Well, you know, I was like 20 years into it. And during that time frame, I was coached by different coaching companies. And one of the coaches that we had, I really liked having that outsider perspective. I liked the challenge of goals. I liked trying new things. And I got approached by this woman and she said, I think you'd be a really good coach. And at the time I was happy because I was working 4 days a week as a hygienist and I was on a commission-based program and I was just 3 miles from where I lived. And I was like, you know what? I'm flattered, but I'm really happy with what I'm doing now. And then I ended up getting married, moving out of state and being like kind of off the beaten path in a rural area after working in more like more metropolitan areas. And I was like, ugh, where am I going to find a really good practice? And I reached out to her and she said, well, I don't know any dentists in the northern Pittsburgh area, but you know, we're hiring coaches. So if you want to come work with meet my team, see what we're all about. And I ended up going to Texas and I met with Victoria Peterson and Bruce Baird and I became one of their business development coaches for 9 years. So I worked with them for 9 years and I really loved the variety. I loved being able to help practices grow. I loved the team approach to coaching and I learned a lot in those 9 years of working with them.
So what was that like in the sense of like, here you are, you know, the world of hygiene, you've seen coaches, but now you get this opportunity to become one. Did you ever have that moment of like, I said, yes, you know, you're getting ready. You're like in front of the mirror and you're like, Susan, do you know what you're doing? Like, was it ever scary? Did you ever have to battle imposter syndrome, even stepping into it? Or did you just kind of have trust?
Well, it was a combination of things, right? So there were oftentimes it was very scary. You know, there were certain principles and systems that we were trained to coach on. But, you know, what I quickly learned was that every practice is different. The dynamics are different. The doctors are different. The team's different. The area of the country is different. You know, and you really had to individualize what you were doing for that client. I believed that. I believed that it couldn't be that cookie cutter approach of, well, here are the forms and here's what you say and you have to do it this way. So, you know, what I tried to tell myself is, you know, you prepare for a coaching call, you plan what you're going to do, and then then it happens. And then you have to be able to pivot, or you have to be able to not feel like you have to be Johnny on the spot with the answer right there, right? It's like, oh, that's a really good question. I'll have to get back to you. And I pride myself on being a good connector. Like, I love to look for different and new and innovative ways of doing things. So I really work hard on my connections in the dental industry to find experts who can help solve a problem that I might not be able to solve, because I never believed that one coach could know everything that happens in a dental office. It's just not reasonable, I think, to think that way. So
I mean, but also, what better people to learn from than, you know, I know Dr. Peterson, she was a hygienist, mm-hmm. and, you know, a very entrepreneurial hygienist. And then you have Dr. Baird, who's like the entrepreneur of dentists.
Right.
And to be able to learn from them, I mean, that must have been incredibly valuable. But yet at the same time, you probably always knew, because you like doing things different, because you're out of the box, because just of the entrepreneur that you are in nature, you probably knew you weren't going to be able to be there forever.
Yeah. And, you know, it sort of became a time in my life where I felt like I needed to make some changes, or this was a good time to make changes. And my father was kind of the bug in my ear saying, you know, when are you going to go on your own? And, you know, when are you going to, you know, do something a little bit different? And in 2017, you know, I launched Dental Coaches, and I kind of, you know, went on my own, and it's really grown. We have over 25 clients now, and I have a team of 3 people, and, you know, started out just solo with a handful of clients, and now we're growing and looking to even expand our team as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. That I feel like that is living the dream. And the reason why I do this podcast is because I 100% believe there are so many dentists and dental professionals that maybe, you know, they're not content just, you know, in their role as a hygienist or in their role as a dentist, and they know there's more for them. And between the lines of what we're saying, they're thinking of that thing that is the dream of their heart, but yet they're confronted with some sense of either inadequacy or, is this the right time? Or I know for me, there was this like weird, ambiguous, am I ready? Mm-hmm. As if readiness was this really clear.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I remember like stepping out into fatherhood. You know, I have 5 kids now. I wasn't ready. And I knew I would never be ready to be a father. Like when it came to getting all my ducks in a row, like I knew that I had a good head on my shoulders. I was with the right woman, and we wanted to just embrace the unknown together and handle all the craziness of kids that don't have manuals to go along with them. And yet I feel like that's what it's like in so many ways to pursue a dream, is that there really isn't this perfect timing. There really isn't this like, oh, I'm completely ready. But you just got to step out and trust. Now, when your dad was that bug in your ear, was it primarily like painting a picture of what you weren't sure was clear? Or was it more like, hey, I believe in you. Like now's the time. Like, go for it. You're going to be okay. Like, what do you think was the biggest wall for you in stepping out?
Well, you know, he certainly encouraged me, you know, and he was always a very positive individual and always encouraging. And you know, I thought to myself, sometimes when you're making a move, you have to think, okay, what's the worst thing that could happen? You know, what's the worst possible thing? You know, this could fail. Or, you know, I thought, well, I could always go back to doing dental hygiene, or I could always go back to doing something else. So and there were some things that I wanted to kind of dive deeper into with my own business and do things a little differently than what was happening at Productive Dentist Academy. And I was just like, if I'm ever going to do this, it, you know, it's gotta be now, you know, in my career. And there were other people that I knew in the coaching industry who had done the same thing, who had launched their own companies, and they were very encouraging too. And I always, because I'm a coach, I believe in coaching, and I've always had a coach. So I really believe in asking for help, asking for, you know, realizing when you need to kind of make some big decisions or do something that's scary or unknown, you know, try to surround yourself with people who can help, you know, help you through the process.
So in your journey, what do you feel like has been like a mindset that you either had to embrace to get to where you're at today, or a mindset that you had to shed in order for you to get to where you're at today?
Well, so one thing that I had to shed was to feel like I didn't know what I was doing, you know, to be like thinking, okay, you've had experience with this. There are some commonalities with these different offices. You know, what are some of the levers you can pull or the systems that you've worked on that really make an impact. And you have to be confident enough to say, okay, I know this is different than what you're usually doing, Dr. Sean, you know, but I want you to try this and let's work with your team and let's reevaluate this in 30 days. And just being more confident with being, you know, what I believed would move the business forward and being able to future pace them. So working on myself to say, you know what, just kind of stick with this for a while or stick with this and see, you know, see what happens. And you can always course correct. And that's what I would tell my clients. We can always modify and change this, but we want to try this, this new process, because if you want to change your business, you're going to have to change, you know, a few things to see some results. So once we would get, I think, that relationship and get some results, then it makes it a little easier to, okay, here's the next thing we want to do. Here's the next thing we want to do.
Now, you sounds like you said you were a practicing hygienist for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the math and that doesn't make sense, but we'll just let that go.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, like, For 20 years, that means you're probably getting some sense of fulfillment and, I don't know, just an enjoyment out of that. When did you realize that there was more, that there was aspects of fulfillment or aspects of your skill set that you weren't able to serve with? Was it simply because the opportunity came up with the move? Or well, was there a little bit of a restlessness that was growing prior?
Yeah, I want to say it was a combination. So, you know, when you're working in hygiene, it can become pretty routine, you know, and it can get routine and it can get very physically demanding. And I just felt like there was something, I wanted more of a challenge, or I wanted to do something different, because I was really good at setting up routines. I could get very efficient, you know, in the operatory and the physical aspects of my job. And I would really kind of focus on how do I win patients over? How do I understand what makes this patient tick? And I would get really into trying to get to know the people and the relationship part, you know, of dentistry. And I was ready for a new challenge. I felt like I kind of hit a ceiling of, you're really not going to earn a lot more money. You're not going to be mentally challenged. Really, you're going to be in this routine type of career. And is that what you really want? So I was ready, I think, and the timing was good with the opportunity. And then the timing in my life to be able to say, you know what, I think there's more that I can offer to impact more people. And that's how I feel about my business and my teams. We impact healthcare and getting patients healthy in a much bigger way when we help our clients get patients to agree to the treatment to improve their oral health.
Well, I'm just thinking, even it's a really big shift to go from, I'm an employee and I've been an employee for a long time, and there's a certain comfort and stability that comes with being an employee, to all of a sudden making that leap where you're the owner, mm-hmm. You know, not just working for a company and learning this, but now you're the owner, and there's really no limits, but there's also no guarantees, right? Like, you know, I'm sure you looking ahead as a visionary, you're probably aware of what that would be like to go from guaranteed, you know, again, paycheck to all of a sudden not having those guarantees. Were there any, I don't know, surprises when you stepped into that role as like, hey, I'm now the owner and this is now my business? Anything that surprised you in either a good way or a bad way when it came from going from kind of, again, more from an employee mindset to that owner mindset?
Well, I distinctly remember this visual. When I left, it was in the summer, and I was sitting on a beach with some friends, and I just kind of felt like I was this little rowboat drifting away from the mothership. You know? I was like, here I go, going on my own. Here I go. Here I go. Here I go. Here I go. I'm launching this. I'm doing this. And, you know, I just remember that feeling. And I remember just thinking, okay, I need to put myself out there in a bigger way, you know, in the marketplace. And I need to connect with different people who can, you know, help me with referrals and, you know, more like boots to the ground marketing, more, you know, more relationship marketing than with huge website or, you know, how do you get yourself known? So I started doing podcasts and I started really going to every dental meeting I could go to and, you know, really putting myself out there to meet people like Len Tao, who refers me a lot of clients, you know, people who I coached him, you know, when he was still in private practice. And so, yeah, it was hard. It was hard. And it was kind of different. It's like, okay, what can I do now to get clients to work with me?
Well, I was going to say that getting an early win, getting some sense of traction is such a big deal, especially early on. Again, so you're by yourself, you step out, there's no guarantee. And now the fact that you even had the instinct to not go to big website, to not go to this, like, these ideals that we have about what marketing or branding are, they're really a long game. They're not a short game. So the short game is how just talking to people, you know, and stepping into some aspect of what could be viewed as self-promotion, but you have to, like, you have to believe that what you're doing matters and that your message matters and that what you're doing matters. Do you remember, I don't know, the first time someone said yes to, you know, getting you as a coach and what that was like?
I do. And I had a lot of local support, which was nice, you know, because I was a hygienist in Connecticut and was part of Seattle Study Clubs. I had a lot of local support, which was good. And I did a lot of coaching, you know, at a really reasonable rate with the agreement that if this went well, I'd get a testimonial or, and I still believe this to my day, to this day, when someone signs up for coaching with my company, it's a 3-month commitment. And then after 3 months, if it's not a good fit or it's not valuable, we say goodbye. I don't believe in paying up front for a year's worth of coaching or locking into a 1-year contract that, you know, really sets you up for, you know, could be failure, could be disappointment. So I guess I had some luck. I had some ability to get people to say yes. We got some traction and people were like, okay, what else you've got? You know, what else can you do? So started out small, I think, with goal setting and growth, and then expanded.
I mean, there's just such a humility in your, I don't know, not caring about starting out. Everyone has to start out small. And yet it's like terrifying. I think for a lot of people, especially I feel like for doctors, like if you're a dentist and you've been known in your field and you're successful, stepping out into whatever lies beyond the op, you have to start off as a beginner again. And you haven't been a beginner for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So even that fear of like, man, people are going to see that I'm trying something I've never done before. And that's scary. Or I don't know, what if I embarrass myself? Like, I know there's lots of voices that try to get people to just kind of stay in line, right? To stay with what is predictable and what is certain. And yet, I don't know if we can follow the dreams of our heart on any path that has a guarantee or has certainty. Like, it doesn't exist, right? Like, if we really want to do what's never been done before and express who we are in a unique way, that means embracing risk. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, one of the things I see, Susan, is, you know, I look to the left of me, I look to the right of me, and I see these amazing people in dentistry that are pioneering positive change. But I also see all these vacancies. And I know it's people that are still second guessing themselves. Mm-hmm. They're still saying, well, yeah, but I'm not really qualified. You know, like, look at Susan. She's amazing and she's super smart and she's confident and she's got it all down. Like, what could I offer? And it's like everyone has a light and everyone has an ability that's unique to them. And it doesn't mean people are called to be a coach. It doesn't mean people are called to start a podcast. But, you know, maybe you're a gifted writer. I think people, if they follow the pain, that'll lead them to something. Like, what is it that infuriates them or what gets them upset? With you early on, I feel like you realized, I need to be around people and I need to be connected to people and I need to be in a role where I can actually make a difference. And the difference you can make as a hygienist, amazing. You know, you really are giving people confidence to smile, and that's huge. But the difference you can make as a coach, as a consultant, like, you can change these people's lives. And dentistry is so darn right, like, so difficult right now. Like, I feel like it's never been harder in some ways. And that's why it's like, I would want you in my corner if I was starting a dental practice. So just tell me a little bit about, I don't know, like, your perspective with coaching, or maybe what makes you different, or who you're a good fit for.
Okay. Well, I think there's so many people out there to help, right? So many dentists, so many dental practices. There's such a great need. What I really like to focus on is what I like to call case agreement instead of case acceptance. How do we get our patients to agree to treatment? And I really believe that everyone in the practice has a role to become a patient advocate, to help the patients understand why they need this treatment, to help them fit it into their schedule and their budget, help lower the barrier to care, and help improve the experience for the patient. I really believe everyone should love the dentist that they go to. And when I travel, if I'm sitting on a plane and I don't know the person sitting next to me, sometimes I'll just strike up a conversation and I'll say, well, do you like your dentist? And so, you know, it's interesting to the different answers. Some people like, I don't know. You know, I just go to somebody I haven't been in a while, or no, I don't really like the dentist I go to, or they love the dentist. And I really get passionate about, there's so many good dentists out there. Find someone you really like, find an office you connect with, find an experience and a culture that you maybe you'll never love going, but you'll enjoy the experience of going. So I believe that that's really important. And I think that really creates a happier work environment for the doctor and the team, less stress. So I have clients that have been with me for a long time. Some have been with me for 10 years. Some came with me from Productive Dentist Academy. So they've been with me over 10 years. Some have been with me 6 years. Some have been with us 2 years, but they can tell you that their practices are running more smoothly. They're enjoying their businesses more. They're able to compensate their team more because they're more profitable and successful. And that really makes me feel happy. And the biggest compliment that I get from our clients is, you really care about our business. Your coaches really care about what's happening with our teams. And it's a lot of fun. It's a real lot of fun. We get together as a group. I have created a community with my clients. So we meet once a month on Zoom, Friday mornings, 9 o'clock, first Friday of the month. And then we also get together in person. So we did a in-person event in Florida. We piggybacked on Len Tao's Supercharger Dental Practice event, and we were together with doctors and team leads. And next year we're going to Virginia because we have a group of clients in the Virginia area. But I like to bring people together for, you know, peer-to-peer support. So that's what makes it fun too, is I've got a group of dentists now that all know each other and mentor and support each other.
So you did amazing at that event, by the way. Your talk was just wonderful. Thanks. You owned the room, and that takes a special person to be able to do that. So I love that I found out that you're one of those crazy people that talk to people on planes, you know. I'm just joking.
Until their earbuds in, right? And they're like,
okay. You're like trying to reach out to them. They put on their noise canceling headphones. Yeah. You're like, yeah, still here, dentist. So do you like any comedians?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I like a lot.
Have you heard of Jim Gaffigan?
No.
Okay. So he's this pale guy. He's like, I don't know. I don't think he's Canadian. I think he always jokes about how like white he is. But he has all these dental jokes.
Oh, got to look.
And yeah, there's this one clip where he just kept railing on the dentist. And I'm like, it's an interesting, it's just interesting culturally how different people view the dentist. So I want to know, Susan, you're like, hey, it's important for you as a dentist to have a great culture and to align that culture so that you can give these patients really great experiences. If you show up in a practice and I don't know, maybe they're newer and, you know, the dentist is kind of feeling insecure. He's still just trying to work on, you know, his or her clinical confidence. Where do I start? How do I get culture? How do I build a culture? And how do I start focusing on the patient? Like what are some of those launching points for me?
Well, I always like to ask, you know, what do you want to be known for? You know, what do you want the word on the street to be about your practice? Because people are going to be talking about it, you know, in your neighborhood, in your building, in your area. You know, what do you want to be known for? And if you can establish 4 to 5 like core values that are important to you, then you can use that as a foundational piece for any kind of decision about your business and for also onboarding and attracting the type of people who are going to be behind your vision and behind your values. You know, what's important. And a lot of people will be like, oh, wow, that's hard to, it's hard to boil it down sometimes to just 4 or 5 words. So we take them through an exercise to, you know, do that. And many times they'll want to do it with their team. Sometimes they'll want to do it alone, but you know, how do you engage people to get behind, you know, why are you here? What do you want to accomplish? And then you can filter all of your decision-making through the core values when it comes to expanding or buying new equipment or, you know, really creating a culture that you attract people who want to be a part of that team. You know, I have clients with big teams now that are like, we want the right people on this team. We're really particular with who we hire, and we want these people to understand who we are and be really engaged with that. So we talk about alignment, clarity, engagement, and how do we get that for our clients, for the teams, and then for the patients as well.
I mean, that is amazing. Like the idea that you're distilling some authentic values that you have, the things that you believe in, 100%, you're right, it goes both ways. Not only does it attract the right team members, because it needs to then be part of the criteria of how you're hiring. It's like, well, hey, do you believe in this? Is this something that you vibe with, mm-hmm. for lack of better words? And yet like that's the birthplace of creating that culture. And then now it's something that you can be aligned with so that as patients are coming in, that's what they're experiencing. You know, if part of your core values is, hey, we want to bring the joy, like yeah. every single day, we want to show up and bring the joy. Well, other people that feel that way, it's, you know, other team members, if that's also the way that they're wired and they're saying yes to that, well, it's easy for everyone to get behind a sentiment like that. And it doesn't just accidentally happen right. where a practice just shows up in a certain way, randomly. It comes with intentionality and with leadership. So your ability to help a practice do that, man, that's gold. So tell me, in what ways do you feel like, I don't know, maybe it's bad thinking. What do you feel like sometimes stops or limits a dentist from growing or from, yeah, just growing their practice?
Well, it can be a lot of different things, right? So one of the things that can limit the growth is hanging on to the wrong team members, hanging on to people because there's a fear of, oh, it's so hard to hire out there. Or, this person's been with us for 20 years and they have an energy or an ability to kind of disrupt things that we're trying to change or do. So I think there's a fear of it's hard to hire, you know, we'll just turn our head the other way with this kind of behavior, or we'll tolerate absenteeism, you know, or we'll tolerate things that are dragging the rest of the team down too. So one of the things that we've created is a team engagement survey. So every 6 to 8 months, we take the pulse of the team. Everybody in the team gets an anonymous survey, 20 questions, scale of 1 to 5. And it's all about the leadership, the culture, you know, how are we feeling as a team? And then we work with the doctors and team leads on a couple things to focus on for the next 6 months. And we take the pulse again. So I believe it helps to give the quiet team members a voice. It helps to create safety, because if it's truly anonymous, you know, we could say, well, doctor, you know, 3/4 of your team is feeling a 1, you know, on this particular question. We've got a couple people at 5, but most of them are at 1. We got to raise that to a 3. You know, we've got to work on our, you know, our clarity on roles and expectations. So we're working really well with doctors and clients on creating better job descriptions, getting clarity on expectations, having more one-on-one meetings, developing team leads to help them lead the group. And so many times the doctors are like, I just want to do the dentistry, you know, oh, I gotta talk to these people. And I'm like, yeah, yes, you do. You know, so we kind of gently stretch them into better relationships, you know, with their team members, and they get better results, as opposed to like, well, oh, I got to talk to somebody and they're going to ask for more money, you know, and I'm going to have to give them more money because they want more money. And it's like, no, you don't have to do a compensation review every time you do a performance review. So we're helping a lot too with writing better ads to attract more committed team members. So yes, the pool has shrunk for people who are looking for jobs, but how do you position yourself apart from the run-of-the-mill dental office? Because there are still people out there looking to make changes or looking for something better. So we help them with the hiring and attracting better people.
I mean, I feel like that's got to be one of the biggest pain points. Just in business across the board, having a team where someone is not aligned or they're difficult to deal with, and how do you manage that situation, either through letting them go, which is very difficult, especially people that feel like really loyal. It's like, well, no, I couldn't do that. It's like, well, yeah, but you also have to be loyal to your best team members, and if they are showing up and they are bringing their best and they're doing great and someone isn't, it's not fair to their best team members to be dragged down by someone either. Like, your commitment is also to them and to surrounding them by another team member, maybe that would have that chance to be able to keep elevating the practice instead of bringing it down. And you also owe that to your patients to give them the best experience that you can. And it's like, if I think of Chick-fil-A, it's an amazing company, amazing brand, and yet it's not just about the chicken. Like, you walk into a Chick-fil-A and there's just alignment with the team with this all-star service. And the experience is almost the same at any Chick-fil-A, even though they're independent franchises. And it's simply because of the training and the standard that they expect of their franchises, which just goes to show that, yeah, like, a culture can be built by the right people. And if I'm a rock star team member and I'm really not enjoying the practice that I'm in, but all of a sudden I see an ad and you can just tell the way that that story is being told, wow, this is an amazing practice with an amazing leader. And I think I would be able to fit in better and just be, I don't know, be seen or be recognized or just have harmony or have fulfillment. I would even take a pay cut to be able, and that's what studies across the board show, is that people would rather have an amazing team around them, an amazing culture, fulfillment, than be part of a bad team and make more money. Mm-hmm. You know, I had an employee of mine that left me for their dream job, which was coaching executive women, for like 30% more, only to come back 2 weeks later to be like, okay, like, might've been a dream job, but not dream ownership, not dream leadership. And I can't do that, Sean. Like, I love working for you. And it was like the greatest gift for me, because I let them go. Like, I thought this could have been the best thing for them. And it was sad for me, but I was like, hey, if this is what's the best thing for you, I support you and your life and your decisions. Only to have them come back. And it was just like, it just made me so happy.
Yeah.
Susan, so who's ideal for you right now? If people are listening, they're like, oh my gosh, like, I want to work with her. Is there a certain place in the maturity of the practice, or is it pretty much any practice could be a good fit for you?
Well, we work with all different sizes and all different stages of practice growth. So I used to really focus on mid-career, thinking that, you know, give me somebody mid-career, but we've really expanded our services to work with doctors starting up and growing. So we offer the ability to really become a trusted advisor within the practice. And when you were talking about, you know, team members and, you know, hanging on to the wrong team members, we also have some doctors that are like, hire new team members, and they're like calling up our coaches going, I'm ready to let this person go. And we're like talking them off the ledge, like, wait a minute, you know, have you trained this person? Have you been really clear on their expectations? You know, let's talk about, they've only been with you 2 weeks. Let's give them another chance. And I love the fact that the coaches on my team have great experiences with coaching large offices, different personalities, and are really good with developing the leaders on the team. My background is more clinical and hygiene, and the coaches that I have now have an extensive background in administrative. So we're doing a lot of training, you know, training leaders, training on best practices for, you know, everything from revenue cycle, you know, insurance claims, getting off of PPOs. I really feel like we offer a lot of different things. And the biggest thing that I focus on in the very beginning is I want the doctors to be able to kind of get the low hanging fruit in their practice. I want them to be able to get more of their patients, to agree to treatment, to get it scheduled, to understand their financial options, and to come in and get it done, and to set set like growth plans based on the hours that they're going to work, the production per hour they want to attain, and how do we reward the team? How do we celebrate success? So if you're going to bring this coaching team in and we're going to ask people to do some things differently, we're going to hold them accountable. What's in it for them? So I like to create some type of way to celebrate the success. It's best if you can do it daily, but we work on the profitability of the business, and the incentive plan should pay for itself. The growth of the business should, you know, cover, and the doctor has to be happy to celebrate that success with the team. So, you know, we're working with practices that are buying new practices that are starting up, practices that feel stalled. You know, they feel like they haven't grown and they need to do something different, or they want to focus on certain procedures. They want to start doing more external marketing, but they're afraid that it's not going to convert well because their team isn't trained on how to handle new patient calls, or how to, you know, if we're going to invest 5 to 8% in external marketing, what's the ROI from that? So we work really closely with marketers with what is our first impression on the phone? How are these patients treated when they come in? What sets this office apart? How do we retain them? And how do we track the metrics? So I love all the different metric companies out there, because it's such a great way to see trends and to stimulate conversations with doctors and teams on, you know, what's really going on. It's a great way to look under the hood.
Okay. So maybe I have a curveball for you.
Oh boy.
A dental friend of mine was just telling me about a challenge that they had. So I just figured, why not just throw it over to Susan.
Okay.
So here it is. It's basically, they want more new patients, but they don't have really any openings for new patients for like 4 to 6 weeks. Like within over the next 4 to 6 weeks, they have like such few openings in the schedule, but they want to grow and they don't know how because they don't have any openings.
So that's a problem. You know, that's a problem. And it's a common problem. So what you really need to think about is blocking and holding time for those new patients, blocking out the schedule. And as painful as that looks, like, okay, I'm not going to fill that appointment. You know, if you want to have 30 new patients a month or 25 new patients a month or 50 new patients a month, where are they going to go? So you're going to have to take a look at your schedule. Are they coming in through hygiene? Are they coming in through the doctor? And block the schedule so that those appointments are available. Because guess what? When a new patient calls, they call upwards of 5 different offices, and they're going to find somebody who's going to get them in the soonest if they've already made up their mind, you know. And some people are still so nervous, right, about going to the dentist that,
yeah.
And if you don't make a strong connection on the phone with that person, they'll be like, let me try another one. You know, let me call another one. So we like to say block your schedule for the number of new patients you want to have. Have a 48-hour release rule. So if if it's Monday and you've got an opening on Wednesday, then put a recare patient in there, put somebody else in there, but you've got to be able to get somebody in, like, I want to say 2 to 7 days. If you're saying I can't get you in for a month, they're probably going to call somewhere else, or they'll book that month out appointment and they won't show up, you know, and you'll have this lost time in your schedule because somebody never called you back to say, I'm not coming. You know, I got in sooner. Guy down the street. So you got to block this.
Okay. So I just threw you the curveball and I think you just hit that out of the park. So great. Good job, Susan.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to work with you, hypothetically, like as if I'm a dentist.
Okay.
What can I expect just over the next 3 months? Because you said it's not a year contract, it's 3 months. You know, what kind of expectations can I have when starting to work with you and your team?
So we will really dive into the metrics of your practice and set some goals. We'll look at what's been happening in the past 6 months, talk with you about, you know, is this typical? We'll average out your, you know, your key performance indicators. We'll really look at your production per hour, your case acceptance percentage, how much of the dollars are getting accepted. We'll look at the hygiene production per hour. We'll look at open time, and we will create a tool for you that's a financial agreement form tool that will help your team go over with patients their options for paying for care so that we get really clear, and it helps with getting patients to yes, and it helps with reducing accounts receivable, and it helps with finding out really how committed people are. So we always start with that. We always start with this tool, and we start with like, okay, what can we do now? What are our goals going to be? And how do we get the team focused on a daily number? How do we have a really strong morning huddle? And our goals for the practice is to grow your collections by 20 to 40%. So we're going to move the dial, because even though culture is important, right? Core values are important, but I can't say that I really start there unless it's a real major challenge in the practice. I really want the doctor to feel like this is working, this is successful, and we're celebrating it with the team. So someone in the practice has to talk about money with the patients now. We want to help them make it easier, and we want to help getting a better process and system in place for that. So we just really look exactly like what's happening now, and how do we just pull a few levers to get better success to the bottom line.
I just love what you're doing. I can't imagine what would have happened if you just stayed a hygienist. And there's like, yes, you'd still be changing lives and it'd be amazing, but dentistry wouldn't get the gift of just the impact that you're making. And I'm sure every now and then you're probably like, that probably becomes real to you. You're like, wow, like, thank God you stepped out and you just had enough trust in yourself to just follow that dream. And I'm sure at times it's been, I don't know, maybe there were some lows early on. It seems like you're crushing it right now.
Yeah.
Was there ever like a low season where you were second guessing?
Kind of. You know, I went through some different employees that, you know, I thought were going to work out and didn't work out. And I'm like, okay, I'm by myself again. Okay, I'm by myself again, you know? And so yeah, it hasn't been like a skyrocketed clear path up. You know, there's been ups and downs. And sometimes when I go into offices and I watch the hygienists work with their patients, I kind of miss that relationship you have with your patients when you've been in a practice for a long time and you see them every 6 months and you watch their kids grow up. And I'm like, oh, that was enjoyable. That was an enjoyable part of the job, you know, for me at that time in my life. But yeah, I really love what we're doing now, and love my team, want to, you know, expand my team. And the clients we have are really great people too. We've got a really nice group of people who, you know, I love the community that we formed.
So you want to expand your team. Who are you looking for?
Well, you know, we're looking for people who could be practice success coaches, and we're looking for support for the coaches that we have. So a lot of different opportunities, you know, as we grow. And what I love about my team is nobody gets assigned just one coach. So we really work collaboratively, and we discuss clients, you know, successes, challenges with everyone on the coaching team. And my coaching team gets along really well too. So it's a really synergistic group. So I'm really, really happy about that. So I guess I'm looking for the right people to be part of our culture.
Okay. So someone wants to be part of either your team or they want to hire you. Where do you want them to go?
Well, they can go to my website and book a call. My website's dentalcoaches.com. Got really lucky with that URL that it was available in 2016. I don't know how that happened, but it's interesting because I get a lot of people just searching dental coaching, and they find us. I can be reached, Susan@dentalcoaches.com. You know, I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. So a lot of different ways to reach out, to get in touch with me.
Okay. So last question. You're walking down the street, and off in the distance, you see 18-year-old Susan, and you have a brief moment to communicate one sentiment to her. What do you say?
Go for it. Don't worry. move ahead. You know, don't worry about it. Sometimes I think I worry a little too much about stuff, you know, so I was just saying, trust your gut and go for it.
Oh, I love that. So yes, anyone listening right now to this podcast that has a dream in their heart that may be still on the sideline, we just say, hey, now's your time. Go for it. Don't second guess. You have an amazing community around you that is here to support you in your dream. Susan, thank you so much. I absolutely love what you're doing. I'm 100% in your corner. It has been so easy to honor you as an innovator. I love the positive change that you are committed to making. And that's what you do, and it's who you are. So thank you so much for letting me interview you today.
Thank you, Sean. I really loved the conversation. It's been great.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to follow so you never miss an episode. To learn more about what's going on in dentistry, check out innovationindentistry.com.